Today's worship has a different format than often we do. We are going to sing our way through the church year, beginning with Advent. The seasons of the church year form this unique rhythm that we really have in our lives that we may not always think about. It allows us as both individuals and as a community to encounter the scriptures and let them guide us. The church year also brings Christians all over the world together as we sing and hear the scripture. So on this beginning cusp of a new program year, a new church school year for many, we will sing our way through the seasons of the church year, seasons that tell the story of our faith.
The church year begins with Advent. Advent means arrival, and this is a season to prepare for God's coming into our lives, not only as the babe in the manger, but as God, the one who seeks to touch us in the here and now, and who ultimately will gather us all in the heavenly kingdom. The main theme during the Advent season is hope and the light that shines in the darkness. That is why each Sunday during Advent, we light one more candle to symbolize that God's light cannot be overcome, no matter how dark times seem to be. The mood of Advent is reflective. We are to prepare our heart for God to enter.
The season of Christmas is joyful. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we rejoice that God chooses to become one of us, vulnerable and very approachable. God became human. The Word becomes flesh. Our Savior is born. Listen now to the familiar story of Jesus' birth from the Gospel of Luke.
From Luke 2:11 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in the bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all those whom God favors."
Scripture from the Gospels is from Matthew 2:7-12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Save our souls, O Savior.
after Christmas, which, by the way, lasts for 12 days, we enter the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means appearance, or better, glorious appearance. We celebrate the appearance of God's glory among us, from the wise men who discover the Son of God as they follow the star, to God's voice proclaiming Jesus to be God's Son in baptism, to the time when Jesus is transfigured in glory before his disciples' eyes.
To the next season, the season of Lent. Lent is the time that leads up to Easter and culminates in Holy Week, the week before Easter, during which we commemorate the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Traditionally, 40 days of Lent are observed because Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, praying, and discerning his call and his role as the Son of God. The time of Lent is a similar time for us. As we reflect on the suffering and death of Christ, we are called to discern our role and our ministry in the shadow of the cross. It is a time of prayer and of sacrifice. The story of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane begins this way in the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray."
Matthew 26. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Easter season begins on Easter Sunday and lasts for 5 weeks. On Easter Day, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and God's victory over death, which includes our death as well. Jesus' resurrection is the most important event we Christians believe in, and thus Easter, in a sense, is the most important season on our church calendar. Take Easter away, and nothing else can have meaning. The very early Christians realized this and made Easter the very first holy day on the Christian calendar. Our faith stands and falls with Easter. It is a season to rejoice and to celebrate life. Listen as I share the story of the first Easter morning from the Gospel of Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Amen.
Pentecost signals the coming of God's Holy Spirit among the disciples. When the disciples were discouraged and without direction in the days following Jesus' resurrection, God's Spirit, the breath of life, moved them out of hiding and into the places where the proclamation of Christ in word and deed was needed. God's Spirit is still moving and shaking us today, encouraging us, breathing life into the ministry we share. Through the Spirit, God is with us always. In a sense, the celebration of Easter continues on through Pentecost Day. The Holy Spirit is often depicted as a dynamo, breaking, burning, bursting, breathing upon a congregation. The Spirit has a way of upending our lives.
And after the day of Pentecost, we return to ordinary time that we're in now, the season after Pentecost. And this season generally covers about half of the year, taking us back to Advent when the cycle begins again. And in this lengthy season, we remember the again and again the presence of God with us in the everyday, ordinary time. The breathing in and breathing out of each morning and each evening. May we notice the blessing and the wonder of ordinary time as this season continues through November. The cycle of seasons gives us the opportunity to reflect on God's presence in all the days of our lives. Let us join together in the benediction. Go now singing songs of life and faith. We go thankful for the gift of music, which moves and inspires us. Go now singing God's good news for the world. We go with songs to share and faith to live boldly in every season. Amen.